My name is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and I am actually interviewing one of my favorite people in the world. So I met Bill Johnson about a year and a half ago, randomly at a conference, and we connected, and he challenged the shit out of me. He's going to challenge the shit out of you listening today, and I can't wait for you to get to meet him. He is currently an instructor at University of North Carolina, Greensboro, and he is a purpose coach, dream coach. What else are you? I mean, you're all over the place. So he has his own his own program, Life Design Catalyst Coach. He trains people across the country to do this work with college students. And I am so excited to have you, Bill. What else do you do? You do everything.
No, you pretty much summed it up. I mean, I just started my own business.
Yes. Yeah.
Life Design Institute. So that's now official. Teach lots of stuff.
All the great stuff.
Great. Just coach lots of people, just trying to make a change in the world. That's it.
I love that. Okay. So first off, why don't you start with, what are you actually teaching right now? So what are the actual class titles?
Yeah. So in the spring, we start Monday. I teach three classes. The first one is, what could I do with my life? And then I teach a second course called Redesign a Life You'll Love, and then Purpose-Driven Entrepreneurship. So those are three courses I'm teaching for the spring semester.
And I mean, I personally wish I would have taken all three of those, and I kind of still want to. So I can't even believe that students have access to this on your campus. I think it's such an incredible opportunity for students. It's just so awesome. But so how did you even get started in this work?
Well, I'm going to go back to when I started in academic advising in 1989. And I thought advising was okay. Spending time talking about registration scheduling, after a while it gets kind of boring. And I knew there was something missing. And the missing piece was, well, why do I want to go to college? And what do I want to do when I'm done? And the more I started exploring that, the more I got into career development, but even career development was focused on you getting a job. And my whole thing is, it's bigger than just work. It's got to be something that matters. And then in 2007, I got trained as a dream coach in January 2007. In December 2007, I got trained as a purpose coach and a spiritual group leader. And that's when everything transformed. Like, it's bigger than even yourself. It's got to be something that where you want to serve the world in a bigger way. So that's when the transformation for me. And I started a new job at the same time at UNC Greensboro. So all those things came together at the same time.
Now, when you were in college, could you ever have imagined that you would be where you're at right now?
Hell no.
Right?
Hell no, not even. Well, let's see. My degree was in parks and recreation because I like sports.
Okay.
And that was it. So I figured I'd do something in sports. My master's was in phys ed, thinking I'm going to do something in phys ed, but I hate it. Teaching. I didn't like kids, so I wasn't going to be a teacher, so I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. Got into a doctoral program, was going to do sports sociology.
Okay.
Whatever the hell that means.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
So. Right, that was a thing. And then after a year in a doctoral program, I did volunteer work in an advising center. I said, I think I want to help people this way. So, and I said, okay, I could do this. So I've actually been in higher ed since 1981. I have not, I've been at an institution since 1981.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to imagine that more than half my life has been spent at a college campus.
Yeah. Oh, so what have you learned about college students over that time?
Oh, gosh. You know, what's funny is I think nowadays, I think there's actually more pressure to come up with something than back then. because you could explore and kind of try things back when I first started in 1989. And nowadays, they're almost forcing you to come up with something even before you start college. And so there's more access to information, but I think there's also more pressure to come up with that thing sooner.
Ah, that's so true.
Yeah. And that breaks my heart.
Yeah. And have you seen this on your campus? I see it so much at mine, and I think I've seen it grown over the years, but a lot of students are experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety about it. And they feel like they have to graduate in 4 years and they have to have it all figured out. Like you said, kind of really at the beginning.
Oh, have I seen it? I actually have data to support it. So In our classes in the fall, we have them create an intention statement saying, so what do you want to get out of your college experience? And most people say get a degree. Most people would say in higher administration, get a degree, get a job. And most students are like, I just want to know what I want to do. That's all I want to do. If you can help me figure out what I want to do, that's golden. So I think what the students are requesting and what administration is saying, they're contradicting each other, but I'm a student guy. So I'm going to help the students figure out their thing. And as we go along, I'll have data to, you know, we are actually being successful, not only in helping students figure it out, but they're also finishing in 4 years. So that's okay. The big thing.
So you're actually meeting the student's goal and the institution's goal.
Well, that's right. I'm trying to do both. That's
imagine. My job. Yeah. So what would you say about a student picking a major versus like creating a purpose or kind of working towards that purpose?
I would never pick a major until I know who I am and what I want to, you know, how I want to serve. So the process that we use is in your first semester, it's really getting clear about what are your talents and gifts? What are your interests? What drives you? What drives you crazy? What's the things that matter? And coming up with a plan for that, and then pick a major based on how you want to serve and your purpose versus pick a major and then ask me, what the hell can I do with it? How the hell am I supposed to know?
No, that's so true.
Thousands of majors out there. I can't pick one for you. So my job is to empower you to say, here's my best me. And then what majors fit my best me? And that's our approach.
Okay. For any student who's listening to this, what if they don't know what their strengths are? So I actually was just talking to a student yesterday and we were talking and she was saying how she picked this degree because she didn't feel like she was good at anything else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that broke my heart. I was like, what? No, you're probably great at a lot of things. You probably just haven't figured it out yet. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say you could give them a list of things that they're, because some, they don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. So if you could give them a list of, so if you saw this list of 100 things, which things would you say you're good at and you like to do? I would imagine every person can pick at least one thing off that list, if not two or three. So I would even, you know, I would give them this little thing of saying, what are the things you're good at? What do you like to do? Pick three things from that and let's start with that.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, so that student that you met with, like I have that list at my desk. So that could be a beginning start of a conversation.
Right.
Just look at this list and what things, and let's start from there.
Right.
Because some people know they like to help other people. Well, in what way? Do you just like talking to other people, or do you like building things, or, you know, what ways do you like to help other people, and start with those conversations?
Yeah. That's so real. Yeah. And I think if you're a student listening to this podcast right now, you probably, you know, you might not have a list, and that's something that you can, I mean, there's so many lists that you can just find on the internet, right? There's right, Google, right. A list of strengths or a list of interest or a list of how you can serve the world, you know, right. And I can link some down below, in the show notes too, but yeah, I think that there are so many resources out there, but again, students have no idea where to get started, you know? So,
right.
So I wanted to ask you, go ahead.
I was going to say, so you could even start with, what do you like to do? Like if you had free time and you could do anything you want, what would you do? Like I was challenged with on a Saturday morning, you know, you're done with the work week And on a Saturday morning, if you got up, what would be things that you'd love to do? So, you know, for me, it's always working out, playing something, you know, golf, tennis, biking, running, something active. You could just start with that.
Right.
You had free day to do anything you want. You could be going to the beach. Well, if you like going to the beach, what kind of things do you like doing at the beach? So, you know, if you like laying out, well, you know what? Maybe you want to do something where you write books, or you have, you know, sell suntan lotion, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just start with something.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the students feel the pressure to have it figured out. They like, I need to have it all figured out today, or I need to have it all figured out by the time, you know, the end of the semester or whatever it is. And it doesn't work like that. Like even your story, you know, you shared how you started off doing one thing, which led to this other thing, which led to this other master's, which led to this PhD, which led to you quitting the PhD, which led to you coming to advising, which, you know, it's like, it's a process. And I think if we can just make decisions that we know are right for right now and keep learning and growing and learning more about ourselves and what we actually want out of life, and just to take time to intentionally figure that out, because sometimes we don't even sit and think about what we actually want out of our life.
Well, and I concur. I agree with that. But I would also say you got to try stuff. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden I'm going to have this aha moment. My purpose is going to come to me. It's like, you got to try. Like mine has evolved, but it has been, I tried this, I tried this, I tried this. And it's kind of formulated over time. But you have to kind of do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you can't think your way to purpose. You actually have to do things to build your purpose. It's a building thing, not a aha moment thing.
Yeah. I think I read something the other day. It was like, you can't just find your purpose under a tree.
Right.
You know, it's not like you like look for it and then you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. No, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. I wish it did sometimes.
Yeah. Nope. It's never that easy. Yeah. If it's something that matters to you, it's never that easy. Yeah. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah. It's so real. So if a student has started listening and has no idea even where to start, they're like, wait, purpose? I don't even know where to even get started with purpose. Where do you think, what's like one thing that they could do today or this week that would help them move forward towards that?
Being an action guy, do something you like. Like if you think about like tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and if I like shopping, I'm going to go shopping. If you like my daughter loves shopping. So we go shopping and we turn her interest in the shopping into her doing fashion. And she just graduated doing fashion because she just likes to shop. So just do something. My whole thing is just get up and do something that you like. Not something that someone's telling you that you like to do. Do something that matters to you. And then write about it. 5 minutes, write about what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it. And just start with that. And then build on that. But just do something.
Yeah. And sometimes you figure out like, oh, I did that, but that's not even what I really enjoy doing.
Right.
But it's something that I have enjoyed doing in the past. But that's not really what I want to do anymore. That's not who I am, or that's not, yeah.
Right. But don't do something that someone else is telling you, I think you'd be really good at this and I think you should do it. Because a lot of times if you're good at it, doesn't mean that's something you really want to do.
Yeah.
I was good at stats, but I didn't want to major in stats because my stats thing was sports. I love sports statistics and they didn't have a major or a class in sports statistics. So just because I was good at statistics, what doesn't mean I was going to major in it, which is why I did Parks and Rec because it was closer to sports than stats. So,
right. Right. Yeah. It's interesting.
So, but just do something and it's something that resonates with you. So if you like animals, go to ACPA, ASCPA and go walk dogs or pet cats. Or, you know, go to a friend's house and hang out with their animal. Just, you know, if that's what you like to do, then do it.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the things, like you were talking about, like action is so important. And I think a lot of times students get in, they pick a degree, like a degree path, a major, they graduate, and then they try to figure out what they want to do with it.
Yeah.
Instead of kind of doing that, like those small actions throughout the semesters throughout the years that they're in college, because there are so many opportunities on campus that they don't necessarily take advantage of because they don't even know about them because they didn't even look because they weren't ready to look yet.
Right.
You know, have you experienced this with your students, and how do you get them to actually use their resources on campus that are amazing, incredible?
Well, I'm fortunate because I can do it as a class.
Right.
But we have them create a poster, and it literally includes, what do you want to do for a major? What kind of outside experiences, internships, side hustles? They're literally creating this document that says student groups, professional organizations, come up with all these different areas based on how you want to serve that matters to you. Come up with all these different areas and then start doing that stuff. And so we're really trying to get them engaged, mm-hmm. if not in their first semester, at least in their second semester. The other thing is talk to people.
Yes.
And you know, we have them create a dream team, a board of advisors, dream team, whatever, but kind of start connecting with people that are like, they're doing something cool, or I like their personality. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something about a job that they're doing, but they might be a cool person. And mm-hmm. that's the kind of person you want to hang out with. Right. They can provide a lot of great insight for you as to what you might want to see yourself doing.
Yes. I love that. I love that aspect of a dream team. And I think I'm even just now creating mine. I always saw that it was important, but I never felt like I felt comfortable asking somebody to be part, not be part of like, hey, can you be part of my dream team? But like, right. you know, how do you say like, I really respect you, admire you, want to be like you, or want to learn from you. And I think people on a college campus, they want to do those things for you as a student.
Right.
Like they are ready. They want to support you as a student. And so, you know, putting yourself out there and getting used to being uncomfortable and just talking to different people on campus, it's mm-hmm. a great place to fail. It's okay if you fail. It's okay if it's awkward and weird because you are a college student and they know that. You're probably right. nervous, or you might be nervous or uncertain about what life is going to bring you. And that's totally normal. We all are. But I think if you can do it while you're in college and kind of start building those skills to meet people and to, you know, just connect with people and ask a lot of questions, then you're going to be so much better off whenever you graduate.
Right. Well, and it's funny because you use like failure and rejection. That's part of life. People are scared of that. Yeah. Like, you know, you think about relationships. You don't want to ask this person out because you're scared they're going to reject you. But you know what? That's part of life. Failure is part of life. Rejection is part of life. You never grow if you don't get out of that comfort zone and you don't try new things. So, you know, I'm of the try it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, oh, well, go back and try something else. So I'm constantly trying new things. And I wish we would encourage young people to do more of that, is to try stuff.
Yeah.
So like in my entrepreneurship class, I don't grade them based on whether they made money or not. I grade them based on, did you try it? What did you learn from it? And what would you not do next time? That to me is the learning experience, not whether you made money or not. Because, you know, I started a business once. It didn't make money. Ran a conference, lost $20,000. I mean, you know, hate to say it, shit happens. So you just got to deal with it. But I think people who could deal with adversity are the ones you want to like hang out with, because they're the ones that can deal with the problem better.
Yeah. And I think that goes around with like your community that you have around you, whether it be your dream team or whether it be your peers.
Right.
You know, I think since I've met more people who are willing to do things that are uncomfortable or have really meaningful conversations, like real conversations, then I feel I'm able to be more vulnerable. I'm able to take more risk because I see other people around me who I admire who are doing that, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think it's neat because you think about how we met. It was kind of on a whim. There was an ad, you know, saying, oh, would you like to be part of this coaching discussion group?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like it could be something I could do. And, you know, and it's turned into this really cool friendship.
Right.
So my whole thing is just take a chance. Right. You know, it might not work, but what if it does?
Right, exactly. And that is so true. And okay, I remember, so after this like discussion, right, we go and we hang out just one-on-one and we just kind of connect and we start talking about different things that we're both doing or working towards. And I remember at the end, you know, you said something like, well, hey, you know, we can stay connected. And, you know, at the time I like really respected you because I had heard about your program before. And so I was really nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, should I stay in contact with this guy? I want to, but did he really mean what he said when he said that he wanted to stay connected? And then I remember we met after, and I am always the person who kind of shies away and like tries to quiet myself. I have a lot of insecurities, and it's something that I feel like I've grown a ton in over the past year. But I think a lot of students have a lot of these insecurities where they feel like, well, I don't want to bother that person. They are so busy. I don't want to, you know, whatever. And I felt the same way with you, right? But then we connected again. And then I said, you know, I'd like to stay in contact after we connected like over like Zoom or whatever.
Right.
And you were like, well, yeah, we can meet like once a month or something. And I was like, what? That's amazing. You know? And if I hadn't said yes, if I had never followed up with you, and now we presented together at a conference, I've attended your training. I've built a relationship with you and your family. There's so much fun stuff. I hope I get to be part of your, you know, your vision in the future. And none of that would have been possible if I hadn't have said yes, if I hadn't have stepped outside of my comfort zone and actually followed through with what you know, we talked about. So yeah, you just can't really see what's going to manifest out of the things. But if you keep pursuing things that attract you in a positive way, right? There's something that really resonates with a conversation or with something that you did. Keep following that. And I think you'll find your purpose. Even if you know, it's totally, you know, I'm outside of your comfort zone.
And I really do, like you said, just ask. The worst that could happen is they say no. But if you don't ask, the answer is no.
Yeah.
So you're better off at least asking, because like for me, when someone says, I'm really interested in your work, I'd like to know more about what you do, that's flattering for me. I'll meet with you in a heartbeat. And I know there's a lot of people out there that if you have an interest in something, they would be more than happy to sit down and talk with you about it. And you don't know where that's going to go. So if they're a researcher, they might have you do research with them. Or if they're working in a business, they might have you come into an internship or volunteer or something.
Right.
You know, ask. That's all I would say. Just ask.
Right.
You've got nothing to lose.
Right. And even like you actually, we should talk about this later, but you should consider having some like student interns with your business.
Well, we're working. We've got a plan for that.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. That would be awesome. So if you need to recruit, you just send me the information and I'll put it on the podcast. So,
I actually do have interns that act. So we have a local institution called North Carolina A&T. Yeah. And they have a master's program in higher education.
Yeah.
And I've had two interns from that program come and work with us during a semester.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a cool experience for a student to just learn and be part of that process and be able to contribute from their perspective. Yeah, that's awesome. What's one success story that you've had with a student where they've really just taken what they've learned from your class and really implemented it in their life?
Wow.
I know you've had a lot that you've shared.
I know. So it's really interesting. So there's two that my brain came to think about. So I'm going to do both, but I'll do both quickly.
Oh, no. Take your time. You're fine.
Okay. So the first one is this guy. His name's Will. Great friend. He's now become a friend. We like go to CC's a couple times a year and hang out and just eat pizza and talk sports.
Oh, that's great.
But when he came as a freshman, he came to do kinesiology because he likes sports. And he took my What Could I Do With My Life class, sat in on the class after he did the activities, realized he liked sports, but he didn't want to do it in the capacity of, like, he did an internship with the local baseball team. He was doing marketing and hated it. Realized
that's amazing. I didn't want
to, right.
Like, that's such semester. A cool opportunity.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, maybe not.
So he ended up going into Parks and Recreation, because what he realized is he likes managing facilities. So while he was doing Parks and Recreation, he was actually also doing work with the library. So he worked in the library as a front desk person. Yeah, he started out as a front desk person, kept getting promoted in the libraries. Make a long story short, graduated in Parks and Rec, did an internship at the Cultural Center downtown. Ended up being second in command, but they kept promoting him. Even through his internship, they kept promoting him. But they couldn't give him a full-time job. So he ended up getting a job working in the library system at North Carolina A&T. Year later, they were looking for a facilities manager at UNCG's library. So at 23, he got a full-time job, you know, working, running the library facility at UNCG, still running the cultural center part-time. Also working with the athletics, doing that, working with their facilities. But he realized he loves facilities. He loves planning facilities. So now what he wants to do is start his own business where he's actually a facilities consultant. And he's only 25.
That's amazing.
And I'm sitting there thinking, if everyone had your drive, I wouldn't have a job. Because he's just driven and he's focused. But he knew early on that facilities management is what he liked, not the sports stuff. So that was interesting. And the second student, his name is Yoon. And this guy, Yoon's from South Korea, came here, met him his sophomore year when he took my What Could I Do With My Life class. Completely, then we hit it off so well, ended up doing our life coach training program. He actually started coaching other students on campus. Unfortunately, he had to go back to South Korea because once he was done here, his parents couldn't afford him to go to grad school. But now he just coached his first client and made $1,500 coaching his first client through a 10-week life design coaching practice. And now, so now they're asking him to do a workshop for people, and he's 24. And now they're asking him to do more coaching in South Korea. So we laugh because we're like, he's going to be the Tony Robbins in South Korea at some point because he has that kind of personality.
That's so amazing.
But they just, they went through a process of like, what really drives me? And I'm just going to do it and see where it takes me. So
And I think that's a perfect examples of kind of getting rid of all the shit that we are either told from society or told from our family or friends about, you need to do this. This is the right quote unquote way to go,
right?
In order to be successful or whatever. If you can kind of start taking away of that and really figuring out who you are and like, and what you, like you said, enjoy doing, I think those are perfect examples of them doing that.
And it's not all about making money. What I've learned over time, I mean, I started out in academic advising and I made $22,000 a year. Right now, that's below the poverty line. Because, you know, I had a wife, I had a family, and I started out below the poverty line. So, but you get good at what you do, you like what you do, and you invest in that. I would say, let's see, that was in 1989. And by 1999, I had tripled my salary. And I was just an academic advisor. But I really loved what I did and took, you know, connected with the right people, started putting myself out there. I was very introverted, didn't like to present, started presenting.
Wait. Hold on. We got to dive into that. Bill Johnson is an amazing presenter. You go to any conference or anything, I mean, he is just so dynamic, keeps your attention the entire time. We were at a professional conference and he played music, which y'all, that is very unheard of at this kind of conference. And he's playing music. He's wearing a t-shirt when everybody else is wearing like all these, you know, professional things. I mean, he is just so engaging, and you can, you just know how to liven up a place and inspire people. And I think, you know, how did you get to that point? Because, you know, looking at you, you know, I knew you, I met you kind of in that time whenever you were doing these like amazing presentations. And Yeah.
So Myers-Briggs, if you know Myers-Briggs personality type.
Okay, yeah.
INFP. I'm a very strong I through college and through college, master's, PhD, very strong introvert.
Wow.
Started working, I'm very good one-on-one, but I knew that there was something I wanted to do more. I just didn't know what it was. So I got involved in the National Academic Advising Association. It's called NACADA. Got involved with that. And someone said, I would love for you to present on this listserv that you're doing. And I'm like, damn, I don't like to speak in front of people. Screw this. But it was something I knew. So I figured, well, what the hell? I could talk about this. I could at least do that. And, you know, it was almost the feeling of like pooping in your pants because you're in front of people and you just don't want to talk. So I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And it was okay. I mean, it wasn't great. But then they had me do more of that because I'm running this listserv for 10,000 people. And they're like, well, we want you to keep talking about it. And I said, fine. But then I said, well, I wonder what would happen if I branched out and did something else. So then I started talking about, you know, the work we do in advising. And I'm like, wow, people are interested in this stuff. I mean, and, you know, some of it I'm making up, but it sounds really good. People like it. So let's go for it. And then now I realize, you know, I have a message. I think a lot of it is find a message that resonates with your soul and share it with the world. And now there's many more options now because you can do webinars, webcasts, podcasts. Back then, you spoke. That was it. You can only speak in front of people.
Right.
But I realize I really do love sharing the message. I mean, I'm not a great speaker. You're very kind and you're
great. Oh my gosh, shut up.
But I really do. I mean, but it's the message. I think that's what makes it easier because I really do have a desire to change how young people look at their lives. I mean, it's why I'm here. It's why God put me on the earth. So that's
what I got to do. And I read The Invisible Leader recently and, you know, partially. So I actually won it from Zach Mercurio, you know, and you kind of mentioned the book and I was like, okay, I have to read this book. So I read it and I think one of the things, and I'm probably going to do a separate podcast episode on this, but I don't feel like I've ever identified as a leader. And whenever I read that book, I realized why and that it's okay not to identify as a leader, but that the leader is actually like what the mission is or what your purpose is.
Right.
And that's what drives me, not me being a certain way or doing a certain thing. It's the mission. It's like the purpose of what I'm working towards.
Right.
And like, that's kind of exactly what you're talking about with the message. And that's what's driving me, that I can't not do this anymore. Because I feel like I have to. And it took me a while to get to that point, but I really do feel like that is like the invisible leader. It's kind of, right. And if you focus on that, all the other stuff kind of starts to align.
Yeah, I think that's why we connect, because we both have this thing of, we really do want to change the lives of people and have them have this thing that resonates with their soul, and you just do it.
Right.
And wherever it takes you, just keep doing it. And that's why we both have that same mission, which is why we have connected, because we really feel I would argue that we would have the same purpose.
Right. Yeah. I definitely agree. Yeah. It's just so interesting how people start becoming part of your life when you're pursuing something that you love and that you feel like resonates with you,
right?
That the right people start somehow manifesting, and then you have to say yes at the same time. So it's that action piece still that you have to keep doing. And even if you don't know where it's going to go, like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And, you know, I know I have a couple goals that I'm working towards, but I'm kind of open to the possibilities, which is really exciting and nerve wracking.
Right.
But,
and I'm on the down end. I'm looking at, all right, so I got 10 years before my ass retires. So I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, what can I do in the next 10, 15 years so that I can really leave a I'm a big into legacy. So
me
now
too.
That I've in the second half of my life, I'm 55. It's what's the legacy I want to leave behind. And I think that is, you know, and I want my daughters to say, you know, my dad was a really cool guy because this is what he did. You know, it's that kind of thing for me.
Yeah.
My friends like you and, you know, all the people that we hang around, I want them all to say, you know, he really did change my life in a positive way. And that's, yes, you know, every life I touch, I'm hoping that they say that.
Right. And that's what keeps me driven. That's, yeah, what keeps me wanting to do the podcast or, you know, do my work with students at the university that I work with. Like, that's what keeps me motivated, is that whenever somebody says that they've, you know, that I've had a positive impact on their life, I'm like, hell yes.
Right.
Like, that's the whole point, you know, or if I can get you to take action towards something that you know that you really, really want to do.
Right.
That's like, cool. Like I already have started to feel like okay with, you know, my own mortality. And if I do pass away, I do feel like I have put enough in this world that I can at least say that I did do something. You know, I'm leaving a legacy, like, as I'm still living, which is cool.
Yeah, I always ask, if I die tomorrow, would I be happy with what I've been able to do? And the answer is a resounding yes. Like, and so I know what I'm doing, and it will. And the thing is, it'll continue beyond me, which,
right,
is for me, which is even more exciting. Like, people like you, you know, you're probably in your 30s.
Yep.
Right. So you have another 30, 40 years of this. You'll continue it, and right, that's when I know that I've really made my impact.
Right.
So, and that gets me excited.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, well, I want to go back to the entrepreneurship and purpose class. So, mm-hmm, how do you mold that together for people? Like, what is like one or two activities that you do with students that gets them to kind of think about how can they actually pursue their passion and kind of make money, even if it's for a side hustle or something, mm-hmm, that they want to do on the side, even while they're in college, potentially?
Right. Well, a lot of it is, so, you know, I'll give you a question. So when you're hanging out with your friends, what do you love to do? I would ask them that first day. What do you love, yeah, to do when you're hanging out with your friends? And, you know, a lot of our students say, well, you know, hair, makeup, you know, they love doing that. They love just talking, hanging out. So we'll even start with that. What do you love to do when you're hanging out with your friends? Because sometimes that could actually be a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we talk about is your values. What do you value? What's important? Because, mm-hmm, if you think about what's important to you, like for me, fitness and health is important, is my number one value, fitness and health. My number two is personal growth. My number three is wisdom/purpose. So what I want to do, whatever I create, has to be aligned with those things, because those are things that are most important to me. So like if religion, I had one student who had religion as her number one. She did human development family studies because she wanted to create groups, church groups for kids where they can hang out and have discussions about religion.
Yeah.
She picked a major so that she could take her true value and align it with what she can do with working with kids. So to me, that's one of the things, like, what do you want to do? What's fun for you? What do you love to do with your friends? If you're just hanging out, what do you like to do? If you like reading, what can you create? So like one of my favorite people is Brian Johnson, and he loves to read. So he decided, I'm going to create PDFs and videos on books I read. And now it's $1 million business just from reading. So you can always come up with something and turn it into a business. So it, yeah, really is digging deeper into, so what do I love to do? And just try it. And we follow this process. It's a 5-week process. And you literally, we step you through each day. You're going to do something towards creating it as a side hustle. So by the end, you would say, well, is this something I'd like to do and I want to expand further? Or is it something that I don't want to do and I want to try something else?
Right.
So we give students two opportunities to create side hustles.
Yeah.
During a semester. So they could try their first idea, and if they like it, they could expand on it. If they don't like it, they could try something else. Now, the caveat is, we had three students who did the class and decided to leave the institution because, yeah, they wanted to do their side hustle full time.
Right.
So, and you know, two of them are actually making like lots of money doing their side hustle now. And
that's amazing.
Later. So, you know, if something comes up, is it a choice between getting your degree or pursuing something that truly resonates? You could always go back and get a degree, but you may not always have the opportunities an advantage of someone investing in your business and then doing it. So right. to me, but again, it's action. It's trying something. We give them an environment for 5 weeks, try it out, see what happens.
Yeah. So. And I love that it's in a class and that it gives them the support that they want, you know, right. so you can kind of talk about these things, but also the support to fail. Like right. you're not going to be graded if this doesn't work out. It's just the learning process.
Right. Well, and as long as you do something.
Right. Take action.
Right. You got to do something.
Yeah. I think that's like the resounding message.
Because I actually did have to fail a student on a project because they had an idea and they just stayed in the idea stage.
And how often does that happen?
Right. I got this great idea, but then I'm not going to do anything about it. So you literally every day you have to do a little step towards it. So it's 15 minutes. All I'm asking for is 15 minutes. Sometimes it might be a half an hour, a week, a day, I mean. So a half an hour a day towards something that resonates with your soul. That's not a lot of investment. So
I love that you just said something that resonates with your soul. Like that is what it resonates with my soul, I guess. yeah. And I don't think a lot of students have opportunities to talk about it. So if a student is out there listening and they don't have the class right on their campus, which first off search, maybe you have something like it. And if they don't have the class, like where do they even go on campus or how can they even like get access to this kind of information?
Well, first is, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a class, but find a person that believes in you. I mean, honestly, someone that says, you know what, if you have an interest in this, I'll talk to you and let's hang out. So if you have a class, I'm sure Alicia will put the link, you know, we put our stuff out there for free for people to take a look at. So you can take a look at it. But my thing is, it really is about the people. Career service centers, talk to them, but not necessarily that I want to get a job, but I'm trying to explore what resonates with me. They'll probably have you do an assessment, like one of those online assessments. Not a fan, but it could give you a start because I'm of the belief it's already inside of you. You just have to have the right person help dig it out. So, you know, I always say, you know, if you don't know, send an email. Send me an email. I don't care. Well, I can give you some, you know, some ideas.
Right.
Just start with that. I'm actually working with our neighbor. So my neighbor has a son who's going to college, who's actually, I think, either junior or senior in high school. He's like, I want you to help my son figure out what he wants to do. Because he says, I want to do physical therapy, but I don't know why he's doing physical therapy. So I want you to help him figure this out and find the right major. So I'm actually going to give him 5 questions, the find your spark questions. And we're going to start there. And then I'm going to have him create a statement saying, I am here to and help, serve, counsel these people. So do you want to work with athletes? Do you want to work with kids? Do you want to work with elderly? And so that they make this change. It's going to be something as simple as that. And then we can kind of use that to find the right major.
Right. Oh, I love that.
So simple questions.
Yeah. And this is like the first part of like a purpose series that I'm going to do. And I'm going to really share a lot of the things that I gained from your training that like really resonated with me that I kind of went through the process. So for example, the next one that I want to do is like sharing my story. So we did that paper or the poster of our story and different 5 or 10 things that have happened in our lives that have really just been like really big things in our life. And so I'm going to share that so people on the podcast get to know me a little bit more and then kind of reflect on what I learned from my time on earth so far.
Right.
And how it's led me to where I'm at now, even when I didn't see it before. And so I'm going to share that and hopefully it helps other people who listen to the podcast to kind of think through their own story and how they can get to that point of trying to figure this out, if that makes sense.
Well, it's funny. So you think about it this way. Some people pick their calling based on trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my wife picked, she's a therapist. And because of what she went through as a kid, she wanted to make sure she helped kids not go through what she didn't have.
Right.
So a lot of times the trauma that you've experienced could be related to what you want to see yourself doing.
Right.
So even that could be a starting point. So, I mean, I started out in academic advising because I didn't have any. Like when I went to college, I had to figure this shit out on my own.
Yeah.
Get a catalog and it's like, I got to do this. I got to do this. And I made mistakes. It took me 5 years instead of four.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't want to have someone, a student, go through what I went through trying to navigate this thing on their own. Mm-hmm. So I became an academic advisor and now I'm doing bigger work, bigger than college.
Right.
And this is about your life. Mm-hmm. And college is a piece of a bigger picture of what you should be doing with your life. Because not everybody has to go to college to be right. successful.
Yeah.
Although, even though it's called college life, or and we both work in colleges.
But there could be a student listening to this right now who is trying to figure that out, and maybe that is the best thing for them.
Right.
And if it is, I think as long as they have a plan or some kind of actionable steps to try and like figure this out,
right?
And they actually go for it. Right. That's my philosophy.
And don't sell community colleges short, because I think they have a lot to offer, and mm-hmm. they may have courses like this at community college. You know, you go to a 4-year, if you took it at our school, it's going to cost you $550 for one credit. You go to community college, they may have the same thing. It costs you like 80.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, don't sell community colleges short, because they have a lot to offer as well.
Right. Yeah. So maybe if they don't have it at your institution, whether it be a 4-year school or a community college, see if you can take it at another institution.
Right. Right.
Yeah. In your area. Or maybe you can offer it online someday. I don't know.
Right. Or you could offer it online someday.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Well, I do want to start wrapping this up because it's been about an hour now. Is there anything else that you feel like a message to a student who's sitting, listening to this podcast, they're sitting on their bed, they're kind of like thinking through some of this and they're like, holy shit, this seems really scary. What message do you have for that student? To again, start figuring this out, or like to ease their anxiety. I don't know.
Well, I think it's what the theme of this is. Find something that gets you excited, that resonates. Could be something that when I say excited, it could piss you off. It could be that extreme.
So
something that gets you excited or really pisses you off to the point where you're like, I got to do something about this. So either way, and then just try something small. It could be read an article that supports it. It could be reading a book, reading an article, watching a video. And, you know, for me, if I read a book I like, I contact the author and say, I loved your book. This is what I learned. Or if I watch a video, this is a video I like. I watch your video. And then contact that person, because that could be the start of something that becomes bigger. So if you're on a college campus, find someone who's doing something you like and connect with them. I would say 90% of the people on college campuses would love it. You know, you're always going to have those curmudgeons, that 10% of like, oh, I don't like dorm room students, even though you're working on a college campus. But for the most part, most people are very receptive to helping people. But we're a connection society. Like, people like to be connected. It's one of our innate desires. So I would argue, find someone you can like hang out with that believes in you.
Yeah.
And ask questions. And it could be someone in your family. It could be someone outside your family. But find someone that just is willing to sit down and talk. And it just might just have a conversation. I don't know what I want to do. You might ask that. So I want to hear what you do. And start with that.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Well, if a student wants to follow you or gain access to your resources, is your blog the best place to go right now?
Yeah. TheDreamDean.com. Okay. That's it.
Okay, perfect. And I will link that in the show notes as well, so students will have access to it. And then, you know, you are starting your business, so I'm super excited about this. You have, I don't know if you want to share a little bit about your kind of what you're thinking about doing.
So it's going to be called the Life Design Institute, LLC. It just got approved yesterday.
Woo-hoo. Congrats.
So now the business is official. But my hope is to really share this with the world and really go out and do workshops, do trainings. In fact, I'm already going to do what we call our life design boot camps. That's something you actually haven't heard of. I just decided to do my first two in March.
Okay.
And I'm going to offer it to faculty, staff, and alumni. And then I'm actually going to do, so one's going to be one day. One is going to be find your why, find your way. And the other's going to be build a better you. So they're going to be focused on being the best you can be, and then finding your purpose, and then creating side hustles or jobs around it. But my hope is that we just do it all over the country, everywhere. And we'll go to different places and help out. So,
yeah. Do you envision that being open to students eventually?
Oh yeah. Well, we do the classes, but my hope would be is that we can go to different campuses and different places, different communities, because we're actually thinking about youth groups and doing this work with youth groups too. So yeah. It's exciting. The vision is very exciting.
Yeah. Well, we will be in contact, and you know, as you kind of start being able to offer more things, I want to make sure that we support you from our end. So
trust me, you're going to be involved more than you can imagine. You know, we have our list of our people. You're one of them.
Okay. Sounds good. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate you being on. And yeah, we will be in touch.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the College Life Podcast. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that really resonated with me from this interview. The first one is you have to take action, y'all, and spend time doing the things that you really, really enjoy. You want to ask yourself, what could you actually do with your life? Expect failure to be part of your life. Going for your dreams and going for what you really want, it might not work, but what if it does? And this is bigger than college. This is about your life. Bill really said something that resonated with me, in that he said, find a message that resonates with your soul and share it with the world. You will figure out how to do that, but figure out what your message is first and then find ways to do that. One tangible thing that you can do is actually find a person who believes in you. I want you to know that I believe in you. And if you need some encouragement, if you want me to be that person, please let me be that person. Don't hesitate to reach out to me. I really do believe in this work and what I'm doing, and I would love nothing more than to help you reach your goals. I have linked all the things that we talked about in the show notes, so please check that out if you want to learn more. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode of the Purpose series, and I will catch you in the next one.